Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
What's up, you mutts? It's another edition of Mail Time, a little late recording session here, 5:30, and I have just now calmed down to like a 50% amount of rage, pure and utter rage. I actually scared myself today. I scared myself with how much I snapped and how much I filmed it and put it on Instagram, and like I sounded a little too much like Glenn Howerton playing Dennis Reynolds in where he goes to the suburbs and he flips out. Like when I screamed at the end, stop fucking leaving notes on my car, you idiots. The way I said you idiots sounded a lot like Dennis Reynolds, who is a noted sociopath on television.
It makes me wonder if that was just the way Glenn Howerton does it, or like he researched people having like mental breakdowns and he was like, that's how this goes.
Listen, knowing Glenn, like after I've talked to him, he takes the craft very seriously. Juilliard trained guy. I wouldn't be surprised if he like went to mental institutions and fucking figured out how to scream like a crazy person. And now I'm just doing that naturally. Today I had, by 10 a.m., I was airing out grievances, which I think for a new piece of content and also just my own peace of mind, I think I'm going to do a weekly airing of grievances. Tuesday morning, I will compile a bronze, silver, and gold list of the three things that have bothered me most in the week prior, and I will air out those grievances.
Narrowing it down to three. That's impressive.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I said I could do it every day, but I've learned. Today, by the way, we're going to talk about The Social Dilemma, which is a new documentary on Netflix all about like the downfall of humanity because of social media. And I have learned in following other negative people just how annoying and overbearing I probably have sounded over the years via Frank the Tank. And there's another Mets reporter. We'll talk a little Steve Cohen as well. There's a Mets reporter named Andy Martino, who is just a fucking asshole. And he's just forcing the negativity, like with Cohen and the Mets and stuff. Now, I will always contend, I really don't force it. This guy, you can tell, is like, everyone's happy. How can I rain on their parade? I am just like always nervous, always scared, always afraid, and always angry. So I would hope it at least comes across natural hatred. But I do understand that the constant negativity can be like, Jesus Christ. Now, I haven't changed, but I've learned. I understand it. It's basically now like when you unfollow me or when you tell me you hate me, I'm like, I get it. But I'm not going to.
I just think for the most part with the Mets, you've been right. You've been like, this team is not good enough. We did not upgrade where we need to. We're not going to be the worst team in the league. People seem to interpret it that. Remember when Dan was like, you know, by the way, when I saw your tweets, I thought you guys were like in the basement and we were like contending for a spot. It's always in respect to like what we should have done, the next level we should have taken it to.
It's like in your life, if you're like, fuck, I should have got that promotion, like, fuck. And everyone's like, well, dude, I thought you were homeless. I thought you didn't have any money at all. What are you upset about? It's like, yeah, listen, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I should have got here and the team should have been here and we weren't, so I'm fucking mad. So so I've learned a little bit, but also there are just times where I also live a fairly complicated life that seems to often throw bad things my way. So I just have to, keep it real here. By 10 a.m. today, I had three problems that were just making my blood boil or my body hurt. And the first was Parking Wars. Parking Wars is back. And if you are a Mail Time listener, you've been following me long enough to know about the origins of Parking Wars. And you know enough of my history with all sorts of like neighbor interactions. Like the real OGs, they know about the time that the homeless people used to sleep in the vestibule to get into my apartment. And they just wouldn't move. They were just like, this is our home now. Like I've always had, I mean, anybody who lives in New York City or the surrounding area is going to have like horror stories about where they live. So it's not unique to me, but I've been doing this for a while. And the latest iteration of my feuding with my neighbors happens to be regarding cars and parking. So Parking Wars are brought to you by Roman. When I rip my fucking hair out of my head, I'm going to need to make sure that it grows back, and I'm going to need to make sure the hair that I just still have remaining is going to be thick and full. So I'm going to go to Roman and I'm going to get some Propecia, some hair growth pills. And then, you know, when I'm overly stressed about all this shit and I get mental problems and I can't get my dick hard, I'm going to take some ED pills. And then just because I'm an Irishman and just a regular guy with a dick that likes to pop off at times that it shouldn't, I'm going to go ahead and get myself some Roman swipes. I will shoot you straight, Brendan. I just ordered a package of 23 of them. 23.
Sounds like you need them.
I hope to need them. You know, usually it comes in like a little box of five. And I think it's 23. It was a weird number. 23, 24, something like that. But so I got it delivered to my house. And it comes in the discreet packaging, right? So it comes in like a black, you know, all black everything plastic. I rip that open, and it's like a zipper pack. It's like a cloth bag. It's not disposable. It's like, this is my dick wipes bag. I now have a dick wipes bag to carry all of my dick wipes because I've ordered quite a few of them. And now 24, 22, 23 times that I have sex. Let's do the math. Let's do the math, Brendan. 7 times 23. What's that? 161 minutes. I'm going to give myself 7 minutes in bed that I would last ordinarily.
Not bad.
Now I'll go ahead to say, I'll go as far to say as I'm going to double that and go 14 minutes at a time. And so that equals what? 322 minutes of sex.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know if you have the cardio for that, but you know, we're talking about the wipes and they can only help you so far.
Listen, I am a master when it comes to like, all right.
Pacing yourself?
Yeah, my heart. No, I pace myself, but I'm also like, sex is like Excitebike from Nintendo. You know, if I know that's a dated reference, but a lot of my Mail Time listeners will be old enough. Excitebike was a game on regular Nintendo, which is not Nintendo 64, which some people are young enough to believe. But Nintendo in the 80s had a game.
Not even Super Nintendo. There was one in between.
Excitebike was a game from the 80s that was dirt bikes. It was an awesome game, but you had to like keep it. You couldn't just pedal to the metal or your engine would overheat and you'd have to pull off to the side and you'd stop while your other opponents would beat you in the race. So you had to keep it about three quarters or you would overheat. So sex is like that. You don't want to overheat. You don't want to go too fast or too hard because A, you'll come, or B, you'll be sweating and your heart's racing and it's just not – it's unbecoming. So you got to keep it in that zone. But then also you can go pedal to the metal just for a very brief period of time, and then you do like switch up positions. Like, come here, you get on top. Or like, you know, you stop and, you know, I always do the old pretend that I slipped out. Like, oh, shit, I'm about to come. Whoops, I fell out. Like, let me regroup here. And that, you know, all you need is a couple seconds to stop the
Welcome to KFC Radio, folks.
And so, you know, this is mail time. This is, you know, middle-aged problem. So they can identify. So I'm a master of that, where it's like, I'll stretch this out. I'll make it last. You're not going to get 14 minutes of penetration. Are you fucking crazy? But you're going to get 14 minutes of the whole experience and a decent amount of penetration. Mail time. Today's episode, I don't care what happens. The rest of the episode, today's title will be decent amount of penetration. I'm not on like dating sites or apps, but if I were, my bio would be like decent amount of penetration. Oh, fuck. So now I'll give you 362 minutes of sex, Thanks to my 23 Roman swipes. Shout out MJ. Get your 23 swipes today. There's $5 when you start, and you get a reasonable amount. You know, when you don't buy in bulk, they can't do bulk orders for $5. I'm sorry, but you can start off with your swipes and learn the magic of Roman swipes when you go to getroman.com/mailtime. Your first month of swipes will be just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's getroman.com/mailtime. So parking wars are back. I live in a street where there's street sweeping, which is bullshit, by the way.
Totally.
For two reasons. One, it's bullshit because street sweeping is not a thing. Not since recycling have I seen a bigger scam than street sweeping. It's just a fucking Zamboni with a fucking car wash spinny thing that just kicks dirt up and settles right back down in the same goddamn place.
Well, so during quarantine, they canceled it for like 4 months. And then de Blasio was saying, like, because New Yorkers are doing so good and they're not going out as much, we don't need to do it. That is such bullshit.
The streets changed zero during quarantine. It was not like, oh my God, they're overflowing with filth and gunk because we don't have our street sweepers. It's just a way to fucking employ some people and to write some tickets. So fuck you, street sweepers.
Maybe in the fall when the leaves fall, that's right. It. You need street sweeping like three times.
Yeah, three times. Fine. You don't need it every guy. So my neighborhood, you know my neighborhood. It's Money Earn in Mount Vernon, which is like the hood, but it's still like a suburban, like tree-lined block, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like urban where you might need – there's garbage everywhere. Like, why the fuck is my street getting street sweeped?
Yeah. I mean, what other town in Westchester?
Twice a week.
That's for taxes. That's a tax.
And Thursday.
You should just be able to pay in advance and be like, okay, listen, I know you are levying the street sweeping tax. I will pay this in advance. Yeah. And I'm just going to leave my car there.
Sure. Like, yeah, just charge for parking or something rather than this guise of street sweeping. It's Wednesday and then the next day, Thursday. How could it get 34 hours?
It's brutal.
So Wednesday and Thursday, you have to move your car back and forth. So the point being that it's a precarious and touchy situation with parking. Also, I am like a 2-minute walk from the train. So people often would drive to our block and park on it and then walk to the train, and they really didn't like that. But also, that's not happening anymore. No one's taking the train. No one's going to work. So all these problems that used to exist are not. And so they're all old people on the block who are retired and do nothing other than – I see them peek through their blinds and just gossip and shit. They're such motherfuckers. So they initiated me to the neighborhood by putting a note on my car that first said – you're not from around here. You don't live here. You can't park here. Move your car. And that was the time that I actually argued in the street like a piece of white trash with my neighbor, because I was going to go back and leave my own note, and he happened to be outside. And then we had words, and I was like, I do live here, motherfucker, and I will park wherever I want. And I was screaming at him like a piece of trailer park trash in what should be a low moment. But in my mind, I'll be honest, I got Kathy Clancy's blood in my body. It's a high moment. It's a high point. I live for that shit. When I'm right, I will be the biggest piece of human garbage to you.
It feels good.
Oh, it feels so great. Nothing better than being right and them being obnoxious and wrong, and then you be obnoxious and right on top
of
it.
When he just said, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I was like, well, maybe you should have known that before you wrote a note on someone's car.
Yeah, it's like you wrote a note like you knew something.
Right.
You wrote a note that said you're not from around here. It's like, yeah, I know. I mean, we'll get into this with the social dilemma about what you actually know and what you don't know.
So they write this note the first time. Then the second note said, stop parking like this, because, you know, they didn't want you parking and then leaving like 10 feet between the next driveway.
Yeah.
Because you could fit two cars, which I actually understand.
Right.
I don't ever agree with parking, with leaving a note, because worst case scenario, the parking situation is tough for like a couple hours. You don't need to be touching other people's property and all that shit. But I'm not trying to be an asshole. I'm actually great. I'm actually a fucking gentleman, Brendan. I'll tell you how much of a gentleman I am. I have a driveway, but I have downstairs neighbors in like a 2-family house that are retired and they're in and out all day long. So if I park my car in the driveway, I fuck them over. So I have to park on the street. It's the cross I bear. I know. Hold your applause. I am a hero. I understand. Credit to me. but I will deal with these assholes because I don't want to screw over my neighbors. So I started to park, you know, within their little gang, little neighborhood gang rules. So I parked right up against his driveway. I even got out and looked and was like, because I didn't want to block his driveway. I was like, all right, I'm close enough so that more cars could park. I walk outside today and I see what I thought was a ticket. And I see, and I was like, but today's not street sweeping day. And there are other cars parked that don't have tickets. I'm the only one who got a ticket. So I was ready to go on a rant about that. I thought I got like unjustly fined. So I got my phone ready. And then I pull it and I see it's like, please don't hug the driveway or whatever it was, back up on the driveway. And I blew a gasket. Just like, you want me to park efficiently so you can fit more cars? You want me to park far away from your driveway? What the fuck do you want? And by the way, there's a tree right by the driveway. So like, you'd have to pull out of your driveway and avoid a giant tree. So my car makes no difference. I'm listening to your rules from the first time. And again, you shouldn't be leaving notes.
Do you just throw that straight on the street? I would just leave that there. And then if anybody sees that, they're going to recognize the handwriting from, you know, somebody they know in the neighborhood and be like, you're putting trash on my car. It's now in the wind. It's now in the neighborhood. You littered. I did not. You littered on my car. I am releasing it to the environment.
That should not have even been out in existence. And it's your fault that it's now on the fucking
It's like
lawn.
Your piece of paper. Where'd you get it? What did you write it on? That's yours. You brought it from your house into the environment. That's where it goes.
And by the way, no big deal because street sweeping comes every fucking
Yeah, it'll be fine.
So, and the real kicker, it had candy cane designs on it. It was candy cane
stationery.
I was like, you fucking assholes. So that happened. But prior to that, things were bubbling. I went over to take Shay to school in the morning. So I get to Caitlin's apartment. And what happened first? First, Keegan, when I see my kids, man, maybe it's because I don't see them every day. And it's like when I see them, it's kind of like an event because I'm divorced. And so it's like dad time. When I see them, it's fucking party time. Doesn't matter if it's a weekday or a weekend. Doesn't matter if it's evening, noon, night, whatever. Morning, noon, night. So like 7 a.m., they want to play hide and seek. They want to play tag. Hide and seek's great. If you're a parent, hide and seek is awesome. Because either A, you're hiding and I can actually hide and you won't fucking find me. Or B, I count to 10, but I really count to like 30 and it gives me some time to fuck around on my phone. There's a little respite from the fiasco that is being a single parent.
How about that? It's not like an inherent thing of a human being, apparently, to be able to find things. Because a kid, like you would just like hide behind a door and that kid will walk into the room, look just around, expecting to see you, turn right back around, walk out. Like you're in view. It's not like you're actually even hidden, but they just don't look and they just walk past you. It's like, so wow, you're bad at this.
Kids are so dumb. So now today, Keegan wanted to do somersaults. And I said, yeah, go ahead right there. Do it on the carpet so you don't hurt yourself. And he said, I can't do it. Can you do a somersault? And in my mind, you know when movies do that trick where you think that the scene is unfolding and then it quickly goes like, and it rewinds and it was in their head and never happened?
Yeah.
That happened to me today where I just wanted to grab him and be like, you little motherfucker. I've seen you do 60,000 somersaults in your life. You can fucking do one right now. Don't make me do it. And it went and it rewinded. And I was like, sure, pal, let's do a fucking somersault. So I get down and I am, everybody knows this about me, 3-cone drill, all my surgeries, all my injuries. But I'll tell you, even I'm surprising myself with my lack of agility right now. Like when I do need to run up the stairs or I do need to put some pep in my step, I'm like Greg Oden right now in my life. I'm just like this big lumbering. It's almost like in my brain, in my head, it feels like gravity and inertia are singling me out. It feels like inertia is a harder force for me to overcome. Gravity's what, like 9.8 like feet per second pushing down? It's double that for me.
Yeah, normally there's regular G, like zero. I think Earth is zero G, right? And you are operating at like 1.5 G, maybe.
That's it. It's just a little bit more. I am a 12 chugga 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 train. Like I gotta really get going now. So when I'm doing these things, I gotta be like nimble with my kids. It's a problem. At a somersault, like
on the floor,
like it wasn't like a hardwood floor, but just like a carpet on hardwood doesn't feel good. And we were just saying like about the action park stuff, you know, being upside down and swirling around right now, even just like one time, it leaves me like disoriented.
I also believe,
this ties into social dilemma. I think I'm growing that horn out of my vertebrae. You know how millennials are getting that extra bone because their heads are always down on their phone?
Text neck.
It's not just a millennial thing. It's I'm a blogger. I'm on my phone more than anybody. So I think that's happening to me. So I do a somersault and I hit the top of my vertebrae, like my spine. That's like bruised. And I got nothing terrible, but just like a strain in my neck that I was just like, oh, shouldn't have done that. And I'll be doing that for a week. Fuck you, Keegan. So that's number two airing grievance. And then I cook eggs for Shay. Her mom's getting like her hair done and clothes on. And I hear that she wants eggs. My ex hates eggs. Caitlin can't even like be in the room with eggs. And I hear her go like, Mary will have to cook that for you. Mama does not do eggs. And I was like, all right. I mean, I can do it. I'll whip up the eggs. So I crack a couple eggs, scramble them up. And I'm cooking eggs. And my nanny shows up. And she's like, good morning. Like, do my eyes deceive me? Like, what do I see before my very eyes? This must be an illusion. Is Dad cooking? And I was like, fuck. Like, am I that helpless? Like, my reputation in her eyes, like, I am that much of a scrub. Like, I wasn't whipping up, like, Eggs Benedict. It was scrambled eggs. I wasn't, you know, putting together like a brunch. It was two eggs scrambled that looks like, you know, you put it in the pan on hot and you keep it moving and you're done in like 30 seconds. And I was like, yeah. I mean, in her defense, she's never seen me make anything other than toast. Shout out to toast. I don't know if this is a thing for your kids or kids in general. Maybe I just got lucky. Maybe I pushed it on them. My kids love toast. Keegan doesn't even eats bread. I don't put it in the toaster. I don't put bread or butter on it. I said to him, in my house we have, do you want yellow toast, which is white bread, or brown toast / purple toast, because purple in the bag, and that's cinnamon. Mm-hmm. And so Keegan said, I want purple toast. And so I got it out, and I went over to put it in the toaster, and he said, no. I'm like, okay. Put it on the
purple bread.
I grabbed the butter. I start to go to spread it. No. I was like, okay, here you go. Here's some raw bread, bro. It's the one bread. And he just chows down on it. So we call them Keegan sandwiches in my house. This is bread. Which is actually funny because I get high at night and I eat raw bread too. I will crush 4 slices of white toast, white bread before bed. So like father, like son. But Shay will eat some eggs. And I mean, it was you would have thought she saw Bigfoot. You would have thought she saw Haley Comet. Like, oh my God, I can't believe it. So I'm like, wow, I'm that big of a fucking bum. So that combined with the somersault, combined with the parking, I was just a ball of rage and let it fly. And then somebody said to me something that was funny. This guy said, shout out to KFC, who's his content of hating things on the internet has been around my entire internet life. So, like, there are stoolies who are, you know, probably, like, late teens or early 20s now that, like, since they were, like, 10 years old.
Wow.
I've been doing this. So, like, since they were, like, here's your first laptop or phone, son, or here you go. They've known me just ranting and raving on the goddamn internet.
Since you were, like, 24 years old, you were still furious at things.
Furious at the world. That's how you know it's a state of mind. Hate?
Yeah.
Hate, is it nature versus nurture? I mean, nature certainly helps, you know, giving me a lot of factors to be mad about. But it's I'm born with it. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. It's not fucking Maybelline. I am born with hate in my heart, man. So you got to let it out. And I think there's something I would venture to guess, I would believe that in my actual life, I'm more easygoing and light and like relaxed than the average person. Because you guys bottle it up. You guys get that note and you smile and you just like turn the other cheek and you do somersaults and you cook eggs, whatever it is that's bothering you. Someone at work bothers you. You have like the other day, when I was in Bradley Beach for the week, we were on the boardwalk and we ran into my ex-wife's cousin. And so we stopped for a minute to talk. And I saw this hardo who was jogging with his baby. You know those joggers who have the triangle stroller, the three wheels that are
because
you can run with them and shit.
Yeah.
And I see him coming, and I recognize that we were blocking the boardwalk. Most people are just walking, and they can walk around us and shit. But I saw him coming from a good distance away, and I started to shoo the kids over, and I was like, "Girls, let's move over here." And he didn't even like give us time to complete the move out of his way. I watched him like speed up and I watched him put his fucking mask on. He pulled it up over his head and he like shook his head and he was like, "Great spot to stand during a pandemic." And I was like, "First of all, great spot to fucking go jogging during a pandemic on a boardwalk, you asshole. Like you're doing something that's just as like inconsiderate as we were in a pandemic." But again, I was making an effort to move and he went poof, like right between us. Pretty close to like all the kids, the cousins had kids, we had kids, like whipped by. And I like, and he was running. He could have beat my ass. He was in shape and jogging, but he wasn't going to fight. And so he said like, "Great spot to run during a pandemic." And I just like turned and I was like, "Fucking bro." I didn't say fucking. I was like, "Relax, dude." And he looks back and says something over his shoulder. And I was like, yeah, real tough guy. Like almost, I said something like almost knocking over kids on your daily jog. Like good example. Cause he had his kid pushing. And I was like,
first of all, I thought this was all going to go the route of, and I didn't even say anything.
No,
you're like, no, I did scream back at him.
But because I did, like, that guy was just going to come and go out of my life, like, no big deal.
Right.
You know? So I got some hate out. And then, like, in the next moment where, you know, like, maybe me and my ex-wife disagreed, I wasn't like, "Argh!" I was like, "All right, I got my anger out of here, whatever, I'll let it slide." Yeah. You got to, it's almost, it's inanimate object rage from dad. Our dad has beaten the shit out of every appliance, every object you can get so that he doesn't beat the shit out of us.
We thought that that was about the object. And no. Now we realize that it's like, oh, it's about everything other than this object.
I got to beat the shit out of the dishwasher so that I don't like strangle my kids in their sleep. I've got to like punch a hole in the wall. He's never punched a hole in the wall. But I have seen him kick the shit out of the dishwasher. I got to
see. Dishwashers can be very frustrating.
Yeah. Well, when they're broken and shit.
When they just don't catch right. Yeah. Like, what's going on here?
You know, I got to slam this door so that I don't go Chris Benoit on my whole family. Like that to me, you know, you have a pressure gasket in your life and you got to let it out a little bit. So I let it out on like parking wars and the internet. I yell about things and then I'm done. Then I meet people for drinks and stuff. I'm like, "Hey guys, what's up?" I'm like happy go lucky. People probably don't think that. They think that guy's such an asshole. He's so like angry all the time. I'm not angry all the time. I'm angry on the internet. That's it. Everywhere else, I'm happy.
It's like you see all the times I'm angry. Right. I put it on the internet.
Documented almost like 100% of the time. So
yeah, and it's like that's more fun. Imagine you were just like, "Hey, I really like this." You'd just be like, "Oh, okay." It's like the comments. You know, the comments everywhere. The comments on the blog posts. You know, from 10 years ago, they're always negative. And it's like, meanwhile, hundreds of thousands of people are reading your blogs. The comments on Instagram, it's negative because nobody says nice stuff. Like the comment that you the one time somebody said, "I'll be honest, I kind of like KFC." And it was like, wow, this is weird because people don't say stuff like that. They don't say it out loud.
Brendan, I know I started this by saying that like unending, never wavering hate can be grating and exhausting. And I recognize what I'm about to do here is just that. Did you see the comments today on our Joe Rogan video?
No, I didn't see that one yet.
They're great. They're great. They are great. People, KFC with the stock rising emoji.
Okay.
KFC redemption arc. KFC's career taking off. I don't want it. I don't want your love. I don't fucking want it. You're the same asshole who just spent fucking 3 months telling me to get fired, to kill myself, to fuck off, bringing up my personal problems. And you know what happened? First of all, I won. I won the war of attrition. You cannot beat me on the internet when it comes to that. You will never be able to beat me from comments. I will never be like, well, I'm going to quit. Like, you're right. I'm not going to do these videos anymore. I will just win the war of attrition. And we all lose. It's like World War One. It's like, yeah, we won the war. Like 20 bajillion people died and everyone came back with like mental problems because you watched like limbs get chopped off. That's the internet. The internet is like we're all getting gassed with Agent Orange every day and losing our limbs in trench warfare. But I will win that war of attrition on you 100 times out of all. I don't care who it is. Commenters, other personalities. I'm Bane, bro. I was born in this. You can't stop me. So, yeah,
but commenters are also ill-equipped for this. They're not. Yeah. They don't understand the game because they're like, look how many people are commenting that we don't like this, and it's just like every other metric dwarfs. Remember when people on Barstool would say, "I bet the majority of the blog's traffic come to read the comments," and then finally, it took us years. It may have been like. DevNest had to come and go, but we eventually could see how many people were clicking on the comment section, and it was like 0.01% of the total people that were there. It's like you guys are just loud. You were not significant.
Right. But I'll tell you what really happened, and it's what drives me the craziest of all. Cause a lot of this, you know, we're talking, I do understand that when you talk about like, well, look at how many views and look at the percentage, it does come across as like, well, you're insecure about this and you're talking, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's why. I get it. But what really does bother me on a real level that I stick by is something that has always bothered me. The reason why people are liking me or those videos now, I happen to pick like 4 days in a row, there were topics that were almost 100% in agreement with like the world. Mm-hmm. Like one was about 9/11. No one's going to hate that. One was about pedophiles being bad. No one's going to disagree with that. There was like one other one. I can't remember what they were right now, but like there was several videos in a row that were all pretty undeniably like, you're going to agree with me. Oh, Skip Bayless. It was Skip Bayless being an asshole about depression. And I wasn't pandering. It was just like, those were the big news of the day. And now all of a sudden I've made one or two or three videos in a row that you agree with. So now you like me.
Right.
Fuck that.
Yeah,
that's
it's like
people have always been laughing at all my jokes, but then I joke about cancer and your mom died from cancer, so now you don't like me. You laughed at everyone else, every other disease and every other misfortune, but now this one hits home for you and you don't like me, so fuck me. No, fuck you. This is the opposite. It's like, I hate everything you do. Oh, wait a minute. I agree. We have the same thought. You are good at your – no, fuck off.
It's like how fuck low you. Is the bar for your entertainment that you – like you just need to be told stuff you already agree with. That's what you want? Like go somewhere else then. Like that's what you want. You just want to be told what you already agree with. Well, but unfortunately, like this documentary shows, like that's exactly what people want nowadays.
That is 100% it. It's hard to fathom, but it not only is it like, yes, Brendan, that is the answer. It's like – overwhelmingly, yes, that's what people want. That confirmation, what's a confirmation bias, or they're seeking out confirmation. That's what the world is, and that's what's highlighted in this new documentary, The Social Dilemma. It's brought to you by BarkBox, the Super Chewer Box. BarkBox has always been helping out dogs. They love dogs. They want to please dogs with their packages. But now they dialed it up a notch. With the Super Chewer Box, it's twice as much stuff. It's two treats. It's two toys. It's two chew sticks. It's two of everything to make your dog happy. Because I'll be honest, you're going to need two. Duncan chews through the first toy in like a minute. And it's like, well, now what? Now we got one that's like a hunk. One was just like a tire. It was like a Goodyear tire. It was like, you are never going to be able to chew through this fucking thing, Duncan. Right now they got the 420 special going, even though it's September. Don't get it. It's going to bother me. I will promise you this. The entire length of this campaign, I will complain that they're doing a 420 spot in September. Makes no sense. You could have done back to school. I just had a back to school theme. I don't know why it had to be 420 in the wrong month. But whatever, because everyone loves weed. It's all good. Maybe it's because we're legalizing weed. Who knows? But the Super Chewer theme this month is 420. So you get like a chew toy that looks like Towly almost from South Park. Like he's like this stoned there's a bong. There's just a gigantic joint that you can chew on. It's fun. The dog doesn't know it, but the human does. It's like, that's funny. It's a joint. That's funny. It's a blunt. Like, it's good stuff. So you can get your make your dog happy and get a chuckle out of it yourself with two durable toys, two full bags of allergy-friendly treats, and two meaty all-natural chews for your dog every single month. They know when it's coming. They know what box it is. They can smell it. They can tell it, and they get all excited. And so their personality comes out. You feel like a good owner and a good, you know, like when I did that somersault for Keegan today, I was like, that sucked, but his eyes lit up and he was happy. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm a dad. Same thing for your dog. It's like, that's right. I'm your owner. I'm your master. I'm making you happy. You're my boy, man's best friend, and I'm reciprocating. Here you go with the Super Chewer box. And if you sign up now, you can get an additional 420 themed toy in your first box. So you get extra love for your dog. Go to superchewer.com/mailtime and get a free weed themed toy in your first box. That's superchewer.com/mailtime. This the documentary is Social Dilemma, and it is all about how social media and digital era is basically the downfall of humanity. We are all fucked. The ball is rolling. The horse is out of the barn. There's no stopping it. We might as well just bow before our master, that is artificial intelligence and social media and digital power, and probably just kill ourselves, because it's inevitable anyway that we're all going to die because of this. That's my takeaway from the book.
When they said AI is already here, when they used that example, they were like, everybody's afraid of the Terminator and the robots and the overlords that are going to come kill you. It's like, the damage is being done currently. The computers are in, you know, like warehouses, and they're servers, and they just look like big black boxes, but they're already doing it, which makes a lot of sense. Like AI, if you really create the super intelligence that can manipulate you, you think they're going to build a body? You think they're going to like make human limbs and stuff like that? No, they don't do that. They're already attacking us.
And if things are already sort of out there, it's like anything else. It's like they've had this technology for years. You know, it's like we've had the alien, we've had the spaceships and all that shit. You're maybe starting to see a little bit of it now. Or it's, you know, it's also like when like they say take two Advil, that means you could probably take like 30, because they're like, we got to handle them with kid gloves. So if there's any mention of it publicly, what's actually going on privately is like exponentially greater, further, worse, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's where things are. So let me back up. The Social Dilemma has people from like Google and social media platforms and all these computer companies. They also have like just authors and guys. The one dude who has the dreadlocks down to like his ass, that guy I trust. Like that guy, he reminds me of like, there's always one character in all these type of movies that's like the conspiracy theorist, or, you know, it's almost like in Independence Day, Randy Quaid being the guy who had been abducted. You know, that was this guy.
I like people who like don't even care about their general appearance, because then you don't think like, because this, and in any conspiracy theory documentary, you start to think like, well, but wait a minute, what are you trying to do here? Like the ginger guy, I was like, well, don't you have an agenda here? Aren't you trying to push it? But the guy who's just like, I'm going to look absolutely ridiculous and like walk around outside like this, I'm like, you seem like you don't have an agenda, because you don't even really care about your own appearance.
Part of that does feel freeing. Part of me wishes I could take the pill in the Matrix, because then you stop worrying about like everything else. You don't worry about your clothes, but even things like I'm so nervous, like go try to negotiate with Dave. I'm like, I don't want to like be mad. I don't want to get like aired out publicly on our, if I thought that like the AI bots were coming and the world was over, I'd be like, I don't know. Hey, fucking, first of all, I probably wouldn't even ask for a raise, because who cares? But second of all, I'd be like, whatever, dickhead, we're dead anyway.
Yeah. So well, according to this document, according to this documentary, it is happening.
They said like, well, what does this mean for like, what do you think this means? And he was like, you know what he was? This is my favorite moment in internet history. Literally, I know that I'm prone to hyperbole, and I know that I'm prone to saying I'm prone to hyperbole, but this really is my favorite moment. And if somebody out there can dig this up, I will be eternally grateful. I will literally pay you for this. The video of Johnny Damon addressing A-Rod's steroids allegations have been scrubbed from the internet. They asked Johnny Damon, what would be worse? Johnny Damon said, you know, there's worse things in the world than steroids. And they said, what's an example, Johnny? And he said, well, murder. murdering someone would be worse. It's like, yeah, John. Yes, Jonathan. Murdering someone is worse.
Yeah. Didn't terrorism. Tom Glavine say something like that too? Like, or it was like, you know, are you devastated? Yeah. And he said, like, well, terrorism is devastating or something like that.
Like, yeah, fuck off. He was just like, there are worse things. Like, I'm going to go home to my family. Like, basically being like, yeah, my family wasn't massacred today. It's like, yeah, okay. We know that, like, that didn't happen, but fuck, Tom. But the way that he said it was so blunt and over the top and so far beyond what the conversation was. They were just like, so what is this? What is all of this, like, trouble with social media mean? And he was like, I do believe it's extermination. I do believe it's extinction. I believe that it's the end of humanity. And it was like, whoa.
Well, and
point B in between, you know, there's not right to extinction.
But it's funny. I mean, it's very one-sided, and they make a very compelling case. One of the things I found interesting was, you know, we're waiting for the point when technology overwhelms us, like overwhelms everything about us, but it's already overwhelmed our weaknesses. Like, it's already figured out how to target the fact that you like getting likes, you know, you like getting retweets, and it's we've already found a way to get you addicted. And then they address probably some of the objections, because I would think the objection would be like, we always say this, like, people who thought that television was going to be the downfall and video games were going to be the downfall. But then they kind of try to preempt that by saying, like, the technology is, like, we're basically, like, at a tipping point.
So
that was my, I don't know whether that's true or not.
I was legit thinking it was like what they talk about in that documentary with Alexa, which we'll talk about in a minute, but I was thinking it, and then it happened on the screen where I was like, do these motherfuckers even time out? Like, around the 27 minute mark is when you start to have this thought, and we're gonna hit them with this. Because I did think to myself,
because you think Netflix isn't doing all this stuff. Netflix is the same thing.
Absolutely. But I did have that thought of, like, every time technology has changed, we have evolved. Every time the world has changed, the guy he brought up the printing press. You're going to tell me when all of a sudden Bibles got distributed everywhere that it wasn't going to, like, fuck with us?
Newspaper was never propaganda. Like, sometimes it was. Sometimes it was authentic journalism, but sometimes it wasn't.
And we always just kind of, like, maybe, you know, each time we're a little bit lesser than we were as a culture. But we can prevail. We, you know, we will not go quietly into the night. We're going to live on. But then they did say, like, the difference here is that technology is exponentially increasing to the point that, like, I don't even know what the number was measuring, but the graph chart went a straight line up, and it ended at 400 quadrillion.
Right.
So I don't care what you're measuring. Anything that's at 400 quadrillion, we can't keep up with. And I thought what was really interesting was, like, he said, you know, when you invented the car, you thought, okay, we are going to drive around now. And that's awesome. And then cars can now go, like, double the speed, triple the speed. And it's like, oh my God, people are dying. That's an unintended, like, consequence. And that sucks. But for the most part, we can adapt and keep up with the new speeds. And yes, it's a little more dangerous than we thought, but it doesn't, like, erase all the good. This, they said, so, like, yeah, cars doubled in speed, not a big deal. Internet speeds and consumption and all that is up by 400 quadrillion percent or whatever. And while all that has happened, things have doubled the speed, things have tripled in this and that and the other, the human brain, they said, has, like, barely moved.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, the human brains have not evolved. Like,
that's not true, though, right? Like, you know, men couldn't, like, figure out, like, how to, you know, if I went back to a caveman right now, he can't have the same intellect I have. I understand, like, in the big picture, the human brain hasn't evolved, but
I think that, like, the Homo sapien brain, not like the caveman Neanderthal, but, like, whenever you become human, if you hand them a phone, they don't get it the first day. But, like, that brain is the same brain as we have right now.
I guess, like, wow. I mean, that's interesting to think. I mean, I guess that makes sense. It's like nothing else.
Yeah.
Maybe we grow a little. We grow more, right? We're like, taller. We live longer. But the actual, you know, it's not like hands are better or whatever. So
yeah. But a lot of that too, like, even growth, even people being taller is, like, a lot of people have attributed that to nutrition. So like, you know, we've gotten bigger like that. I guess you could think, well, maybe our brains have gotten better because of better nutrition. But basically what they're saying here and in a lot of places is like, we still have the fight or flight response. Like we are still governed by a lot of things like tribalism, things that you normally are scared of that. And it can help you once you recognize these things. Once you recognize that there's nothing to fear, when you realize that your brain is triggering don't do that, you know, it basically comes down to tribalism and being ostracized. We want to fit in, because if you got kicked out of your tribe, back then you would literally die right now. But if you can acknowledge that and you go, I'm afraid of this, but I shouldn't be. Going to, you know, like you can, you, once you recognize that, you can get past it. What they're doing is taking all the things that you don't realize are happening and preying on them. And they say that it started with like, not really, it started with things that were not worse than basic sales practices. Like this is what salesmen have been doing since, you know, any, whenever you want to start a modern era. They were like, you know, we, this is how we try and sell things. And we buy billboards in the places that you pass by, and we remind you of things, and we mail you flyers. Like all of that is somewhat manipulative too. But the difference is now they're collecting so much feedback, so much data that they can basically program you, not just program the app. And that's where things sort of change, because, you know, you really don't realize that they're tracking your GPS and they're obviously listening to you. And that seems a little nefarious. But even if they play by those rules, all the things that you participate in give them so much data, let them build such an accurate profile. And then, you know, people who are not just selling widgets are like, we're going to get you to think this way about a presidential candidate. And that's where everybody gets a little nervous.
Well, yeah, it's like first, I mean, to go back to the brain thing, I do understand that. I feel like it's like, it makes sense. It's almost like it like time travel movies, you know, you bring someone from like the 1300s into a movie and they like, they can still like hang, they can still like figure things out. But I feel like part of it is what you kind of described of like, you do learn that you don't have to be afraid of certain things. You don't have to. I think of that as like evolving in a way and adapting, but maybe it's not like the hardware is getting better, but the, you know, it's like, if you saw like fire, you'd be like, whoa, what is that? It's like, no, don't worry.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No. And that's where at the end of this, they're so doom and gloom. And I'm like, I do think that there is just a chance, like you get fooled by some people get fooled by things and other people can see right through it and be like, that's not real. I think that we can get there.
That everything you just described about like all the practices is marketing. It's just a marketer's dream. What they're doing is marketing on steroids. So if you are in marketing and you do advertising, you're probably like, this is fucking brilliant. This is amazing. You know, and I can understand there's some negatives, but this is like incredible what we can achieve right now. And they did mention that guy, Tristan.
Come on, dude.
Let me do a little experiment right here. I like to do this with me and you because we kind of share a brain. When you saw that his name was Tristan, what did you think of?
They call me Dragon.
Yes!
I'm the youngest, but get bonkers.
Fucking fascinating. Dragon from Rough Riders. They call me Dragon. I'm the youngest, but get bonkers. I mean, immediately, his name is Tristan. It's pronounced Tristan. I thought of Dragon, and I was like, my brother will think the same thing. Guess what? Human brain has evolved. Okay, fuck you guys.
I mean, like, if I ever meet that guy, I'd be like, do you ever say they call me Tristan?
I mean, you have to yell that every time you walk in a room. What's your name? They call me Tristan. But he acknowledges that. He's like, yo, I can grab a phone and in 5 minutes have a car pick me up and take me exactly where I want. That's a good thing. That's amazing. So it's not all bad. It is this extreme marketing. But I do think two things to relate to what you said. One is like, okay. Let me slow down. I'm going to get ahead of myself. My main two takeaways here. One is they said, you know, Alexa's listening to you at all times, which I think we all kind of know. But they're saying like, it'll hear you coughing. And it knows.
This is in Land of the Giants, which is a podcast series.
Right, different one. Right. It wasn't a Social Dilemma. The podcast that was talking about it was like, your cough. It's not that you're talking and saying, I want to buy this, and then it hears you. It's just that like, they're like, oh, you're sick. we'll send you some medicine. Or like, you're crying, so you're sad, so we're going to send you things that cheer you up. When I hear those things, I'm always like, that sounds pretty good to me.
Right.
Like, I need some medicine. You're going to send it to me. I'm sad. Here's some links to Pornhub. Thank you, technology. Right, right, right. Thank you, big brother. This is making me happy. I get that you then take it to an extreme where it's like, we will mold you to think a certain way. Mm-hmm. But to tie into my second point, I think if you are smart enough, and maybe this is, maybe I'm not smart enough, so maybe they're like, yeah, you're our exact target because you think you're smart enough, but you're not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you're smart enough, you kind of know when things are fake, when things are being manipulated, when you are being manipulated into thinking a certain way. I know it's a little bit cliche and probably stupid, but when people are like, if you don't have anything to hide, like, you shouldn't worry about them going through all your shit.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds like a little ignorant, but it's like, I'm going to live a very basic life here. And if you're going to target me, and like, I think the worst thing they can do, at least what I hear right now, is like persuade me to vote a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the big implication of if you do that to a whole people, but I'm just saying, me in my personal life, like, what are they going to do to me with all that information that is that like detrimental? I get on a cultural level, I get on a time, you know, over a course of hundreds of years, or maybe for my kids and their kids,
yeah. All that,
I get it. But on a day-to-day basis, what's so bad?
Yeah. Well, at one point they say, they're making you think thoughts that you didn't intend to think. And I'm like, listen, that's called the whole world.
Yeah.
Like, I go outside and I see a red car. I did not intend to think, do I like red cars? I look at it and I evaluate it. And I say, you know, so I do think that there's like something to, but to me, I mean, maybe it's just coming from a point where I think I can recognize when this stuff is happening. Like, my TikTok feed right now is 100% Trump getting roasted because I find all of them funny and I click like on all of them. But I realize I'm like, every now and then, a super far leftist Gen Zer will come across and I'll be like, well, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. And that's where I say, I got to stop. And I don't worry about my TikTok feed like correcting it, but I just go, you know, you have to realize when you're kind of putting yourself in a bubble. Well, and you have to listen to people. You have to listen and say, like, now there's probably going to be some very, very far right people that I'll be like, ah, fuck you. I don't, you know, like, that's bullshit and this is racism or whatever. But there are still people in the middle. And I think that, like, at the end of the day, at the end of this episode, it's like, you just have to completely give up and be like, we can't handle this if you don't think that people will like stop short of civil war. You know, if you can be manipulated into civil war, I mean, fuck, we should be scared. But I don't know.
They said, what's your main fear? And he said, in the short term, like, meaning like the, you know, the immediate, you know, kind of problem we have to worry about. He said civil war.
Right.
Like, that seems like the long-term problem to be. But in his mind, he was like, that's the problem immediately. I guess I give people too much credit. And I guess I'm learning now, and you start to see some of these people like across the country in different areas that it's like, they do not deserve the benefit of the doubt. Right. But I think that, okay, here's what I think. First of all, the girl in the blue hair who was like, I intentionally follow people I don't like to kind of even it out. I think that's an interesting idea. When you talk about like people in this documentary, they talk about how can we combat it? The one guy from Google, Tristan, was like, I was addicted to Gmail, which I respect. GChat, I was addicted to the green dot too. And he said he went to work and was like, guys, why isn't anyone trying to make this less addictive? It's like, well, because Tristan, we work at Google. We want motherfuckers to be addicted to it. No one's going to think, how can we get people to work on this less? But what if, you know, what if for a practical solution to some of this, when you follow someone, a suggested follower is like, we balance it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that. It says, like, well, you know, notice that you followed a conservative on this topic.
Yeah.
Why don't you consider this person to hear the other side of the argument? And you might just say, fuck it. But they're, you know, they can kind of curate in a way that's not deterring you from using their platform. It's not deterring you from like them making their money. It's just deterring, you know, you from being a one-sided echo chamber asshole.
And that's where they said, I think the girl in the blue hair said, because they have a quote from Zuckerberg, like, the thing we should do is build more AI that can discover this or that. And she was like, this can't, Google does not have the answers to this. I'm like, I'd say Google doesn't have the answer to it yet. I'm like, you don't think that an algorithm can figure this out? And maybe you have to opt into it. Maybe you have to show them, hey, I would like to be a little bit more balanced. Because right now they just say, oh, you like Ben Shapiro, you'd also like Jordan Peterson. And it's like, maybe they should be like, you like Ben Shapiro, take a look at Anderson Cooper and take a look at Jon Stewart, you know, and balance it out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it just, the path, they lead you down a path now of just more of the same, when maybe they should lead you down a path of like, you find this interesting for, you know, the intellectual debate or whatever. You can get the intellectual debate. This person is just as talented as Ben Shapiro is at arguing and debating. It's just going to be the other side. And it just, as a suggestion, because
yeah. And maybe a few people in the middle, maybe not the people who are really good at arguing just their side.
I think it takes a special asshole to be like, yo, man, you're in an echo chamber. You know, you're only hearing one side. You want to just hear the other side of the argument to be like, nope. Like, I think more people would be like, oh, because you know what it is? When you take the pill and the matrix and the light bulb goes off, you feel like an idiot. You feel like you're getting played, you know, right. And you're like, oh, shit, maybe I should hear
Kyrie. They had Kyrie on.
Yeah. When he said, I went down the flat earth rabbit hole and realized I was just kind of like eating the propaganda. So why don't you follow this person instead? I think most rational people, because at the end of the day, all you can save is rational. You can't save either extreme. So why don't we focus on saving the rational people and maybe they would follow it? Or maybe, you know, like when you get into something, If I am like, all right, you know what? I'm really into politics this election cycle. Who should I follow? What if you could follow like a block of people? Like here is your bam, and you get like 10 of this, 10 of that, 10 in the middle. Or, you know, I'm into sneakers. Who should I follow? Here's the 30 sneaker accounts you should follow in one shot.
Yeah. And can't they like
present it a little more even to you?
Yeah. And can't, you know, people are verified or not verified. Can't they be verified according to the topic that they're an expert in? And they can show, you know, like you see the top reply, but that reply is usually based on like how many likes and retweets. So if somebody, you know, roasts somebody else, that you see that, but couldn't you slide to the side and be like, here are the rational responses? Yeah. And couldn't people submit in that way? Couldn't people say like, hey, I actually have some sources here. I would just like this to be tagged on the side so that if people are interested in it, they can find it.
And I think that is, there's a market for that. I do think that's probably a little convoluted and a little bit like not what they're trying to do, where they're like, no, we
won't. No, they're not. Yeah.
But if the same way that like the other day we're doing the rundown and Dave says, I couldn't believe this actually. I mean, I can believe it because I know him as a person. I couldn't believe it because I thinking of him as a consumer. He looks for the little logo on products that says we don't test with animals because he doesn't like to fuck with animals. So he will go out of his way to buy the animal free product.
Mm-hmm.
And so like some people, you know, are cognizant enough. If you marketed it as this is the social media platform where you will not be getting like played like a dummy, I think I would opt into that. I think I'd be down with that. Like, this is the Twitter for, you know, a little more of a rounded presentation of what's going on or whatever. I don't think that's like specifically for like the nerds. I don't think that's specifically for the hippy dippy. I think like rational people would, when I find out that I watch, and that's why documentaries in general, you know, Feidelberg's out on them because he's like, they're always skewed. They're always fake. Even this one, I don't even really know how it concluded. Because by the end, I was like, all right, this is getting a little bit silly. There's some interesting stuff, but it also gets to the point where I was like, I think this is propaganda in its own right. I think it's getting played by you talking about getting played.
Sure. Well, it's funny. It's during the credits that they only say anything good. They literally, the credits are rolling and they keep talking. And I'm like, this is a very important part. This is the entire other side of the argument that you're just like doing during the credits.
Right. And that's where, you know, you got to take that, the documentary about the topic with a huge grain of salt. There's some things that I found very just interesting in general. Actually, mostly was the quotes from philosophers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Between segments. The thing that was like, there's only two like genres in the world that call their audience users. Yeah. It's social media and drug addicts. It's like, oh shit. Like, bam. And like,
and there's a lot of parallels to that because, you know, like how the cliche of how a drug dealer gets someone addicted, like gives you the first taste for free. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, like you can very clearly get addicted to it. And the other parallel, I think, is, well, why should we worry about this? Why don't people just take their own responsibility? And it's like, well, people just might not know how bad heroin is. So we just don't let people have it because there's really zero upside to just having heroin readily available. Now people used to say that about marijuana. You know, there's a case like, why don't we make all sorts of things? So, you know, it can swing back the other direction. But kind of like a prevailing idea is like when people don't know the damage that's being done, society and government tries to protect you from it. And also like with kids, you know, they use the Saturday morning cartoon example. They said, you know, you could not advertise certain things on television shows directed at kids. And that, like, we love that the internet has like no rules because we like make content on the internet. But when you have kids and you think like, why, I would rather not that ad run on YouTube, you know, YouTube for kids.
Like eventually they'll probably put, you know, the internet is still like in its infancy. And I think eventually some of these things will come into play and they'll put the right things in place. These guys would have you believe that like the horse is out of the barn and it's too late. But I think if you are savvy enough, and that's really this is my main takeaway, my main thought from this whole discussion, this whole documentary, and like everything on where we're at. It's brought to you by Fleischmann Salon. One thing that's permanent, bro. Old, new, like young, old, generations ago in the past, generations in the future. Nice hair always plays. It's always going to be a thing. You need nice hair, whether you're running for president in like 1770, whatever. They had the powdered wigs on. They were like, this is how it's supposed to look. And nowadays, even Donald Trump, he's trying to fucking, he's got to make sure he has his hair right. Nobody wants to be bald at any point in human history. They don't want to be bald in person. They don't want to be bald on social media. They don't want to be bald, period. You got to have nice flow. There's a reason why every like CEO has like a nice head of hair, or like long flowing hair, because hair will always play. It's always in style. And Fleischmann Salon will always do, and they will always take care of you, whether you're in the salon getting your hair cut or whether you're buying their products. They will take care of you to give you the best hair possible to make sure that you can live as normal of a life as possible in these crazy fucking times. Yeah, that's right. Fleischmann Salon and their hair could save the world. We might break out into civil war, but you'll have nice hair doing it. Or maybe if everybody has nice hair, they'll all calm down and be like, you know what? I was going to like blow up that building, but like my hair looks good today, so I'm happy. So Fleischmann Salon might really actually save the world when you think about it. You can go to FleischmannSalon.com/shop right now, or you can just go to FleischmannSalon.com and right at the top, it says shop. And you use promo code KFC at checkout. You'll get 20% off all your product purchases, which include shampoo and conditioner, hair paste, hair cream, sea salt spray, and the gummies, which have like 9,000% of your daily biotin, which makes sure that your hair stays shiny and thick and full and can even help a little bit of regrowth. If you subscribe to it so that it gets delivered on a regular basis, which it's all hair products. As long as you have hair on your head, you're going to need to buy these things. You might as well have it delivered to the convenience of your, you know, it might come by drone. It might come by artificial intelligence just dropping it off, but you'll get it every month, and then you get an additional discount.
That's why I like the technology. I'm like, I want to just sign up for it, and I want them to know. I don't want to say I need this every 6 months. I want to be like, I need this when it runs out, and I want the algorithm to figure that shit out. So this is where it's a good thing.
Right. And you know what? Artificial intelligence might be smarter than you. It might be quicker than you, faster than you. Artificial intelligence doesn't have good hair.
No.
Doesn't robots? They don't have good hair, and maybe they'll try to like, you know, the Whitney Cummings robots of the world will look pretty human, but you can never replicate like a nice silky flow head of hair. So as long as you have hair, you can beat the robots. One day when the Terminator fight comes and like we line up, you know, in like War of the Worlds, where they're like, how'd we beat them? It's like we gave them a cold. Like, how do we beat the artificial intelligence war of 2025? Hair, bro. We had better hair than they did, and they fucking like chickened out because of it, because they couldn't go toe to toe with a real head of hair. Go to Fleischmann Salon, FleischmannSalon, FleischmannSalon.com. Promo code KFC for 20% off, additional discount for subscribing. Save the world, fight artificial intelligence, Fleischmann Salon. My takeaway, my solution here to kind of like wrap up the social dilemma. I think we're good. I don't think it's a problem at all. I'll tell you why. What in that whole documentary, What social media platform do they talk about ad nauseum, just nonstop? Which platform was it?
Facebook?
It's Facebook. Facebook has something comical, like 250 million users out of like 400 million total people. It's insanity. But I would venture to guess, I would almost guarantee that the 150, let's call it, million people who are not on social media, on Facebook, are kids. And then people like us who are like probably elitist, like in urban cities. We're not kids. We're older, but we're like savvy and we're still kind of like cutting edge. We're using the new things. We know better. Everyone who's on Facebook getting duped are old people who didn't grow up with the internet. They see an article headline that's so fucking outrageous. Me and you see that. Kids see that. And they're like, that's not real. That's just, you can tell that's far-fetched. Like, no, you know, like Chrissy Teigen didn't fucking rape kids. We just, no, it's, you know, it's not real. And adults and old folks and maybe, you know, some of like middle America that's not as technologically or internet savvy as we are, they get played by it. And they are the ones who, they're, it's new to them and it's exciting and they argue and they get played by deep fakes. They can't tell a Photoshop. They see these videos that's like, did you see that video of like the kid shot the cop? And it's like, that's just not a real video. And I can tell it's not. They can't tell that. And what's going to happen? They're going to die. We got to deal with this on Facebook for the next 40 years. And then everybody or the vast majority of everyone will be dead. And then like the regular people on Instagram and TikTok and whatever else is next, we'll inherit the earth and we'll be like, God, that was a tough 4 decades where we had grandma, grandpa, auntie, and uncle believing, you know, fake deep fakes. But we're good now. We're back on track.
So like you've always said, like, we're the greatest generation. In the social dilemma, they say that there's this whole group of people that have that hit went through middle school for the very first time with social media. And I kind of worry that you're not going to play them the same way with stupid Facebook ads, but you are being addicted to it and you are going to get your news from like Instagram and Snapchat now instead of CNN or Fox News, which I recently have been, those would not be a viable alternative now, but we kind of grew up with stuff where you're like, listen, I know that there's a left or a right tilt to everything, but for the most part, CNN and Fox didn't have this in-depth data on me watching them when I was growing up. They just were like, well, you know what? If you're this way, you're going to tune into this channel. If you're this way, you're going to tune into this channel. We're going to give you what you want. But they didn't have the constant feedback where they were like, okay, now we're going to send you an ad here. And now we're going to push you this way. And now we're going to double down on, oh, you watched one moon landing conspiracy? You're going to be flooded with them. So you can't turn them down. So, I mean, I think for the most part, it's funny. I've been thinking about this for a little while because Gary Vee always gets asked this and I'm in my little bubble of like, Gary Vee could fucking tell me anything and I would believe it. And I recognize that as my bias, but he's always said that, you know, he's not worried about the kids because kids always wanted to be validated and kids always cared about how much they were liked. Now it's just a different form. At one point when they say like, this is the erosion of democracy, I'm like, democracy is about what the people want. We are just seeing more of it. We just see now what people want.
What the kids want, but it's like heightening and hyper, like now it's tangible. It's real. You want it to be liked. Now you literally want people to push the button and it preying upon like their insecurities. And I don't think they're, I think, you get old enough where you're savvy, but when you're still young and not savvy to it is when you're very susceptible. And that does scare me. The kids scare me. But it's also like, yeah, you have to like,
parent them.
You have to, you're always going to have to parent the kids.
Yeah. I mean, like you don't think that like it would probably happen at a smaller scale because now every kid has this, but like if your daughter got bullied and, you know, someone told her she's ugly, you would have to say, you would have to be like, you're not ugly. You're not fat. You can't develop an eating disorder. We have to combat this. And some people, unfortunately, like fell through the cracks and their parents didn't know what to do. Or maybe they, you know, have, maybe it just like you didn't realize the problem was happening. And that certainly can happen on a bigger scale now. But it's, you know, at some point people have to take responsibility for it and say, we have to either tolerate this or try to make incremental changes rather than just like push it all out. You know, I clearly lean left on a lot of this stuff, but what I've seen now is there's so many people being like, we have to get Trump out. We have to abolish all things Republican, get rid of capitalism. And like, that's crazy too, guys. That's crazy too. And you got to prepare for the fact that it's not just the man, Donald Trump. There are lots of people who believe what he believes. And everybody wants to say now the clip that they're playing all the time is Obama saying, we are not the conservative state, the United States of America. We're not the conservative states of America. We're not the liberal states of America. We're the United States of America. Well, guess what? There's a bunch of people that a lot of people don't want to be united with. You are going to have to deal with that. Those people are out there and you're going to have to deal with the fact that you can see them. Like, that's what's going to happen. It's all going to come to you all the time. You can't just say, oh, this is somebody manipulating Facebook. Those people really exist. And you're going to have to learn to live with them.
Right. It's like preaching abstinence versus like safe sex. Like, this is going to happen.
Right. It's a great analogy.
So let's address it rather than just bury our heads and say like, no, you can't have capitalism. You can't have billionaires. You can't free college for all. Free, you know, universal everything. You know, it's like, no, let's be more real about it. But I do think that there is a age thing going on that's like,
for sure,
when those generations are gone, will it be as much of a problem? When the people making decisions are the ones who are like, we grew up with this, we're not getting duped, we're not getting played, we're actually, maybe we know, like, they are these like buttons and the colors they use and like the way they literally structure their platforms are designed to prey upon like our innate biological shit, right? Like the dopamine in your brain and all that. Mm-hmm. But we at least know that. And the generation coming up will know you're trying to fuck with me. And I know mm-hmm. you're probably cheating on some level, but I'm also aware that you're doing that. So I'm going to balance it out. I do kind of believe that we are adapting with how much is changing. Like when mm-hmm. they said it's not possible to keep up, like I kind of think we are. I think you're underestimating these fucking TikTokers who are like, when they come of age, they're going to be like, bro, we've dealt with this from day one and we know how to handle it, at least to the point. And there's not going to be like civil war and a full fucking dystopian anarchy, you know?
I do think it's weird. One of the things they said was, if we can't agree on truth, I think Tristan said this. And I was like, dude, like we haven't all agreed on truth all the time. But when they were saying, like, basically facts are kind of arbitrary now because you can just find the flip side of everything. You know, people distrust doctors.
Did you know that Google changes based on where you are? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. Yeah.
If you Google, like in New York, if you Google climate change is, it will autofill destroying the environment, the world. If you Google it in Alabama, it'll say climate change is a hoax. That is, I thought you could at least count on Google.
Right.
But I guess like the facts, the idea of like truth and facts and.
It's just because, but Google's just based on the hits. You would Google something originally when Google didn't have a lot of data and it would give you what it thought you wanted. And then it's influenced by what people were clicking. So it's usually the most.
Not like people in your region are saying that climate change is fake, so we'll fill it in with hoax.
I know that's where it's like they say, how can someone think other than I think when there's so much evidence that you can clearly see? And then when you realize they're not seeing it, you know, that guy that was saying, where are all the sick people? Right. But I think that there are some smart people, like, you know, coronavirus happens and you fall on one side of it. You either think, wow, this is a really big problem, or you're like, this is a little overhyped. So I'm talking about regular people, not people who are just like outright, this doesn't exist. But if you're in New York and you have a sister who works in a hospital and you hear about people constantly dying, you think, oh my God, this is the biggest problem in the world. And if you're, you know, somewhere like in the middle of the country that hasn't had a single case, you're that guy saying, where are all the cases? Where are the sick people? He literally says, nobody's sick. Nobody knows anybody who's sick. And we're in New York being like, I know five people that have died.
Right. So, but guy, when they played that exact clip, he said, nobody is dying. My reaction was not like, you dumb fuck. I said to myself, right, that guy lives in a town, in a state maybe, where nobody's dying. So, of course, he thinks that way. And I would hope that there's enough people out there who are kind of thinking my way, where it's just like, you can't blame these people. You can. I mean, stupid, because you have to get outside your bubble. But you can't, you can at least understand where the stupidity is coming from. And I think that's what's going to save people, is like, to know who's dumb and who's getting played and which technology's going, you know, which direction. I think that that will equal out, like level out some of the.
I think this is all exacerbated because it's an election year and probably like the most contentious election ever, because that's where I do think the stuff that's most at stake is influenced the most, because it's like actually a small subset of people. Like, you know, there's like 100 million people eligible to vote who didn't vote in 2016. So you sway a few million people here or there, it really makes a difference. In general, you know, there's always people who are part of these groups. Certain groups hate other groups. Certain groups are intolerant of other. And that clash has always been happening and probably will continue to happen. It's just where you can push. I don't think when they talk civil war, it's like that's it's like divided 50-50, one for one. You have to be so far on this side that you're willing to fight the other person. And it's right in the middle. I mean, I just don't feel like we're that divided. I think it just seems like we're that divided because you're listening to the subsets that are Republican and Democrat.
And I think when people are like, the gap is larger than it's ever been between blue and red. And it's like, no, it's that we've always been in disagreement. We just like didn't know it. You don't have access to all these people.
And I think it's
what they say, and then you're like, then when you realize, oh wow, they are that dumb, or they all said that stupid thing, I hate them, maybe it's ratcheted up, but it's not new that like they're clashing.
And I still hold out hope that it's actually the radical groups have never been farther apart, because I've never heard anybody say abolish capitalism
forever.
Right. But they've never been close, but those are farther apart. But then there's all these people that mix around the middle that are like, listen, when I see something like George Floyd happen, I do feel like I have to say something. But in general, I'm not like, you know what? You need to hear about my defund the police policy. I have no idea. I'd never even heard that term before. And I listen to it because it's what's being spouted. But when you see somebody get killed, you feel like you need to say something about it. But in general, I'm not one of those people who's always squawking about politics. Yeah. Those people have been radicalized.
That video the other day that played, where they had the people on the news where the kid was like, the flu kills more people than Corona. And then they had the old woman who was like, child molesters wear masks. And they had the one girl being like, George Floyd said he couldn't breathe. And I'm saying I can't breathe. Why don't you listen to me? The middle has never been more in agreement. They were like the are further apart than they've ever been. And those are the old people and those are the people on Facebook. And those are the people we're talking about in Social Dilemma. The middle is so sick of the extremes. They're actually tighter than they've ever been, because the normal people on either side looked at a video like that and said, this is so fucking stupid. Right. And so those people are dying for normalcy. And that's where the Joe Rogan debater thing, moderator thing comes up, where people are just dying for some normalcy in any fucking way, shape, or form. And I think they tried to do it with Donald Trump, thinking he's alternative, but he's not normal. I think the be normal movement is here, and the middle wants normalcy. This to me is like, this wraps up everything on Social Dilemma. This wraps up everything on like the world for me right now. The extremes are further apart. The middle is closer than ever. The extremes are old people who are hopefully dying. The middle are people who are coming up and learning more, and they crave the normal life. And I think things might actually get more normal, as even though we feel like we're on the precipice of civil war and whatever, I think it might end up evening out, where it's like, let's just be normal, because that's what the vocal, that's what the silent majority wants. And I think that normalcy will prevail. Maybe not this time, maybe not anytime soon, but when you talk about like the doom of humanity, I think eventually the people who want to be normal will be large enough and loud enough that the extremes will either fucking die or stop being listened to, and the Be Normal movement will prevail.
If you guys are interested in a little additional content, I'm writing a newsletter, a weekly newsletter. Go to kfcradio.com/newsletter. Let me say the word newsletter a couple more times. Newsletter. Yeah, sign up there, submit your email, and we'll just like round up all the content we've made. Make sure you're seeing everything. I've got the 1 Minute Man's in there, Making a Gambler from Fights and Nick, Answer the Internet, Mail Time, KFC Radio, all the stuff, Goddamn Jets, whatever we did in the past week, all rounded up in there, and maybe a few special giveaways. KFC Radio.newsletter. We'll see you guys next week.